I would like to read for our scripture lesson this morning a portion of the first chapter of Paul's letter to Timothy, reading the first six verses. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved, to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. May we pray together. Gracious Father and God, may thy kingdom come on this earth. Grant that not one Christian may be at ease as long as there is one man in all the world who does not know Jesus. Grant that men may come to love thee with all their hearts, souls, minds, and bodies, and neighbors as themselves. Give us this day our daily bread, but help us be mindful of the fact that many would not die this day if they could but have the scraps from our tables and medicines that are common in our drugstores. Grant that we may ever be of forgiving nature, because we realize that only under these circumstances can we ever experience the thrill of forgiveness. We thank thee for the coming of Jesus of Nazareth, for the witness we have of thee through him, for the blessedness of our salvation, the church of the living God, for those who have contributed, who have given to it through the years to make its light continue to shine. We thank thee for Southern Baptists, their insights in providing for missions and theological seminaries. We thank thee for Dr. Staley, Dr. Binkley, President Lally, for the Board of Trustees, the faculty, the staff, those that have dreamed and labored to make their dreams realistic. We thank thee for the calls that have led students to come to Southeastern Seminary. Grant that each of our students this year may grow in love, knowledge, and grace. Be with us in the service this evening, and especially with President Lally as he leads us. Draw us closer together through this worship service, and help us to experience a new forgiveness. Now, this hour, may we worship together and leave feeling that it has been good to have been here, and may we be strengthened for the day and other days by our having been here. This is our prayer in thy name, for Christ's sake. Amen. A short time ago, Louise and I drove into the inner city of a city of approximately 400,000 people to see a friend. And we realized that there were more cars parked in the area than we had remembered from previous visits. I mentioned the fact to my friend, and he stated that the employees of the city transit system had gone on strike that morning without prior announcement, and more people had to drive to work than under normal conditions. in an effort to settle the dispute between management and labor. A mediation board of three persons was appointed. It was somewhat difficult to find persons who were qualified to serve in this capacity. Persons were sought who understood the position of and who were acceptable to each group. To be acceptable to the employees, these persons had to be familiar with living conditions in the area. They had to have information about housing, clothing, and food costs, expenses involved in maintaining a child in school, and in maintaining social positions. These persons also had to be able to understand the operational factors involved in operating the transit system. Factors had to be considered such as maintenance, depreciation, insurance, energy, replacement costs, and fair return to investors. Persons were found who had these insights, who were acceptable to both sides, and a settlement was reached within a short time, and the transit system was in operation again. Paul in 1 Timothy proclaims the fact that man was estranged from God, and that a mediator was and is needed to bring about reconciliation. Paul proclaims the fact that Jesus is qualified to serve in this capacity, to serve as mediator between God and man. Before thinking about the role of Jesus in this capacity, we need to think about, to define the word mediator. Webster sets forth a mediator as one who tries to bring about friendly relations between those who openly are disagreeing. Our mediator is one who acts to settle differences between men, nations, or powers. Intercessor and peacemaker are good synonyms for the word mediator. But the most acceptable word that I've found, most acceptable synonym, is the word go-between. A mediator goes between people who are in disagreement and endeavors to bring them together. In order for one to qualify to serve as mediator between God and man, that person must know intimately God and man. And Paul proclaims the fact that Jesus qualifies from these standpoints. The testimony of those that were with Jesus sets forth the fact that they felt that he was of God. Hear their testimonies. Never did man so speak. Come see a man which told me all things that I ever did. We know that thou art come from God. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth. Jesus was the answer to prophecy and came to be regarded as the final prophecy. His actions and preaching bespoke God. Jesus proclaimed the fact that God is love, that he loves all men. His kingdom was not political. It indwells in the hearts of men. Citizens of the kingdom must be free from pretense and must present themselves as little children. Jesus presents God as a personal God who would draw men to something higher, unto himself. But an additional factor was needed. He needed to become man and experience life as man. Jesus, as an infant, had a home environment in line with the family life of the times. He learned a trade, as was customary for young men of that day, He received instruction in the home and the synagogue. When he began his ministry, he did not go to the synagogue or the temple and bid people come to him. All the country was his parish. He ministered to people who had no minister, the fevered, lame, blind, leprous, poor, sinners were his parishioners. Jesus experienced life as an infant, a child, a teenager, and an adult. He experienced joys and griefs. He suffered and died. Jesus was from God and was of men. On this basis could he mediate between God and man. As men come to Jesus, they are led to God through the man Jesus. But granted that Christ is from God and was of men, granted that he does qualify to serve as mediator, what is the meaning for you, men and women of God, at Southeastern Seminary in 1975? Is not this the main role for the man of God to be playing in 1975? Never have the needs of men been so great. Never, perhaps, have mediators been needed to this extent. Men are crying out against the untouchable lords of industry, the monotony and slavery of work. Women work during the day and come home to more work at night and are weary from the confinements of work and home. Young people are not motivated in our schools and are frustrated and drifting. Men no longer can go west. The world of television is unrealistic, providing inadequate values. The man of God sets forth principles of stewardship that result in work becoming a means to worthy ends, that lead men to look beyond the machines they are operating. The man of God talks about a greater and broader love that brings husband and wife together in this common love. The man of God talks about a system of values that would lead one to give another man 10 feet of land if 5 feet are being contested, that would lead him to sell the property itself in order to provide for the needs of others. The man of God leads young people to new hope as he leads them to establish worthy life goals. There are times, admittedly, when the man of God has no words for the occasion, when he can only hold the hand of man and say, "I will look for understanding with you." A friend of mine was talking with me recently about the death of his wife. He was sitting in the hospital room that last evening, knowing that death would come at any time, and somewhat hoping that it would, because she had suffered so intensely. And he was somewhat asleep when he realized that his pastor was sitting in the room with him, just sitting. And the pastor was sitting there when the end came and when the wife was released from this life. The finest role the man of God can play is that of helping a man draw upon God's grace during hours of need. We will continue to hope and pray that men will mediate until someday, hopefully, Jesus will become the Prince of Peace. Two men were walking from Jerusalem home to Emmaus. They were worried. They did not understand. Jesus had been crucified and buried. And then Jesus drew near them and walked with them and talked with them as they walked. And then Jesus was gone, and they said, Was not our heart burning within us while he spoke unto us in the way, while he opened unto us the scriptures? And they returned to Jerusalem to tell the 11 that Jesus had been with them. My prayer for you, men and women of God, is that you will walk hand in hand with your people so continuously that they will see Jesus in you, and that as a mediator, you will ever be relating them in a finer way to your God and Master. May we pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, so touch our hearts that we will be lonely with the lonely, anxious with the anxious, depressed with the depressed, lost with the lost. So touch our hearts that we will love the unloved. So touch our minds and spirits that our insights will be yours. This is our prayer in thy name, for Christ's sake. Amen. Mm-hmm.